Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We will be giving away neither one of these, actually, the Magic 8 Ball or the Monopolies. I think I'm going to actually have some Back to the Futures. So I'll be like Michael J. Fox, and we'll drive the DeLorean. I like to drive the DeLorean back to 1983 right now. It's 79 would be fine for me. We can lose a World Series in seven. I'd be okay with that at this point. Luke Jones joins us now. He will not be joining me at the Beaumont this week or at Cooper's North next week or maybe at Coker's. I don't know. You'll be joining me at some point. You're too busy as the only credentialed media member for both of these franchises. Big football week ahead. Certainly big baseball week ahead here with all of Ohio coming in and playing baseball here this week. We've talked a ton about the pitching, the pitching, the pitching, the pitching. At some point, if they were scoring 11 runs a game, they'd win every night, right?
Yeah, and look, I mean, it doesn't have to be 11. It's not going to be 11 runs a game. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be completely unrealistic and delusional about it, but at the same time, you look at where their offense has been. It was that element was more encouraging over the weekend, especially on Saturday. Kerstad hits the home run to breathe some life into the offense. Rutschman's home run, as I said to you in a previous segment, it felt cathartic. It felt meaningful as mid-April can be. Let's put it that way. It felt like that kind of a win for them. And Mullins gets another big hit as he continues his fantastic start. Sunday, they scored six runs, albeit aided by some defense, wild pitches, some shoddy play from the Blue Jays. But again, six runs a game, you'd like to think you're going to win that more often than not. But we know that this team, as it's presently constructed, especially now with the injuries and the rotation mounting, they've got to hit the ball. And they've got to hit the ball at a high level. It can't just be, oh, well, this is a top 10 in Major League Baseball kind of offense. No, it's going to have to be top five or better, right? I mean, it's going to have to be in that space if this team is going to do anything remotely meaningful, right? If this team's going to make the playoffs and have, whatever the rotation, whatever the pitching staff looks like come July and August and September, if they're going to be in a position where they have a chance to be playing October baseball, it's going to be on the backs of their offense. And it's been choppy, to say the least. It's been up and down. When it's been good, it's been really good, but they've also had their share of games where they've been shut out a couple times. They've scored one run a couple times. They've scored two runs a couple times. I mean, it's there have been quite a few games where even if the pitching wasn't great, it was at least mediocre enough where they still had a chance to win with the best version of their offense. And they're still chasing that right now.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what is that? Is that runners in scoring position? Is that hitting with two outs? Is that hitting three-run home runs? Is that drawing more walks? Is that striking out less? Is that hitting into double plays less? Is that running the bases better?
No,
Yes.
I mean, yes, to some degree, yes. When you look at some of those elements, I mean, I'll say this. Now, obviously, on Sunday they struck out what 13 times. Their strikeout profile has been about middle of the pack in Major League Baseball, right? They haven't struck out at an insane clip. They haven't been, the best in baseball at avoiding strikeouts. So you look at that.
Well, those are better than
However,
double plays, according to you nerds.
well, they yeah, well, they've grounded into a quite a few double plays, which is kind of odd because you look at last year, they set a record for the fewest double plays they grounded into. It was kind of discovered it late in the off season that they set a record. Of course, it's not
Well,
exactly.
Charlie Lauer here right now, and I beamed him in. He would talk about situational hitting.
Sure, and that's one of their downfalls in the second half of last year was runners in scoring position. They were not very good. But for me, what really stands out so far, and it can be explained somewhat because of, okay, they played three games in Kansas City. The weather in Baltimore hasn't exactly, wasn't great over the weekend, was better on Sunday, but still what's a high of 62 degrees, whatever it was. But they haven't really hit for much power. For as much as everyone bemoaned, oh, this team relies on the home run too much. This team relies on the home run too much the last couple of years, which I'm sorry. You look at most good offenses in baseball, they hit the home run in 2025. It's how it is.
Well, I go back
But
just a long, long 2 weeks ago to Toronto. My neck hurt. I was
oh,
watching
no
that game from
doubt.
center field over an opening day, and the ball just kept going right. It was going left. And the one thing we said, this team's gonna hit the ball. I believe that.
I
I'm
do
down
too.
on the pitching. I'm not down on the hitting. I'm just down on the fact that you can hit your way to a championship. I don't believe that. Do I believe that this can really equal out the five all-star great players, big red machine, big, I'm sorry, wrong week for that, big orange machine this week. But I will buy Westberg, Holiday, Rutschman, Henderson, and Couser. That doesn't even mean Mullins or Mountcastle, the guys that have been hitting home runs, right? Like that, when I look at the young core, those five that I give you, I'll give you that. I'll put that up against the five from the Cubs 10 years ago. Or I was thinking about Fred Lynn and Jim Rice the other day because they had a big thing there. But just like whatever that youth movement would be, the Orioles in 79 when they kind of had Eddie Murray coming together, and even Cal in 80, 83, 82, 83. But I'll buy that this thing, this dog will hunt. You, for me, the offense, the players, position players, you can win a championship with them. So I'll begin the second half here where maybe I get my press credential back by saying
Yeah.
nice things about the offense.
Well, it's going to have to do that. Or they're not going to be very good. I mean, period. If they don't hit and hit at a high level, then they're going to be a team that, I don't know, 500, sub 500, whatever. I mean, they've got to hit at that kind of level. And, so far, I mean, Mullins has been fantastic. You go up and down the names in their everyday lineup and acknowledging Couser's out for at least another month, month plus. But yeah, they've gotten mostly decent individual performances. I mean, some guys have been better than others. I mean, Gunnar Henderson obviously missed the first week of the season. He didn't get many spring training at bats. He had five games on a minor league rehab assignment. You're hoping Sunday, the three hits he had on Sunday, that's a sign of more to come. And I will also say, this is where you do look at Statcast and some of the Sabermet, not so much even sabermetrics, but batted ball data. Gunner's been hitting the ball hard. I mean, he hasn't gotten the results. He hasn't hit the ball in the air a whole lot. He's hit a lot of, very firm ground balls. So I don't think necessarily you look at his numbers. I think it's looked better than what the stats would reflect, as far as his at bats. So you're still waiting on him. The guy that I was just looking at this is, as we were getting ready to begin our segment. Jackson Holliday had that three hit day in Kansas City, the game that they won. I think he's 0 for 17 since then. So, he's been, he was off to a good start. He struggled
Well, he is
since
not
then.
proven, right? I mean, that,
Sure.
Henderson, we say proven. Couser more proven because of last year, despite the holes and the streakiness. Westberg, to me, might be the best of the pack. And Rutschman, I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
But
I
Westberg
keep.
hasn't been very good since the first series. And he's dealing with something. I mean, the Orioles have suddenly become a hockey team where Brandon Hyde referred to it as an upper body thing. I'm guessing it's the back, because he had a little bit of a back issue.
Well, back's a real problem as a guy who has a back issue.
I mean, it depends what it is. I mean, if it's something that, that's kind of lingering, that's a muscular issue, then okay, maybe, at some point maybe it's right. But if heaven forbid, if it's a disc issue or something like that, then yeah, you start to worry about it. I'm not sounding the alarm. I'm just telling what he's kind of been dealing with.
Well,
And
that would
since,
be a hell if they're going to lose more than Couser. That's where
I'm
in the
not,
last
but I'm,
segment I'm a Debbie Downer and whatever Nasty Nest or whatever you want to call
they've
me.
got to stay healthy. I mean, pitching
Yeah,
or,
there's going to be more injuries. There just are.
well, if there
Yeah.
are, but if they can't stay healthy, I mean, if they can't get healthier on the pitching side, and if they're going to, then they're not going to go anywhere. And I would
Agreed.
say that about
Agreed.
most teams. I think even teams that have insane money payrolls, you get to a certain threshold with injuries where you just say, what do you
Well, I mean,
expect?
you're doing the Birdland caravan speech for them to go out next year if it doesn't go so well, because all you have to do is frame up the injuries to the pitchers. That's all you have to do. And now you take Couser out. If any other, the legs on the table start to fall more. I don't.
I mean, I and
And it's
again, that
terrible that we're in the middle of April and Masters and all that happened and the draft next week, but and that we're. so sort of dour on this, but we've watched a lot of baseball, you and me, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen because they hit the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, and look, it's very early, right? We're just at the point now where we're hitting the 1/10 of the way through the season. That said, it's the eyeball test. It's everything about it, right? I mean, before Saturday, going into Saturday, where Saturday I think might have been their best game collectively, where they, not that Sagano was great as the starter, but he didn't get. He didn't give up six runs or get chased in the third inning.
Their pitching
It
gave him a
was
chance.
competitive, right? It was good enough. The bullpen was good. The offense came alive in the middle to late innings. The defense was excellent. It was the best defense they've played all year. But prior to Saturday's game, I mean, that's where you look at this thing and say it's not just that they lost; it's the way that they've lost, and it's looked sloppy. And they haven't run the bases well, and they have. Weren't playing very good defense on the last road trip. And that's where you say, because the pitching is where it is, right? Even if we talk in terms of trying to be more optimistic that they get some of these pitchers back. And I'll throw out, I'll give you a positive on the pitching side. Kyle Bradish threw his first bullpen over the weekend. That doesn't mean he's back in the next month or two, but if you're eyeing a pie in the sky, best case scenario for him to be back after the All-Star break, then there you go. He's throwing bullpens now. But everything about the pitching that we acknowledge, the weakness, the injuries, the question marks, whether it has enough upside, whether they have enough arms in the bullpen, if Batista's going to be able to throw back-to-back games at some point later in the year, all those questions fully acknowledged. You look at where they stand, they have to do the other little things really well. This team has to play good defense, especially on the infield. Right now, because of the Couser injury and what that means for their outfield defense, they're not going to necessarily be great on the corners. They have Mullins, and Mullins covers a lot of ground and plays Gold Glove caliber defense at center in center field at his best. But their infield defense needs to be on point and needs to be playing at a high level. They have to run. They can't run themselves into outs. They have to do the little things well on top of pounding the baseball. I mean, that's how this team is
Basically,
going to win
watching the
games.
Blue Jays on Sunday as a
Do
film
the
on how not
opposite.
to play the game, right?
Right. Well, I mean, the way the Blue Jays, now they won because Gregory Soto gives up three runs in the eighth inning, but the Blue Jays, the things that they did on Sunday, we've seen too much of the Orioles doing that over the first 2.5, 3 weeks of the season. There's no question about that. They have to be sharper. And that's where it's funny to me because you may be aware because you're on social media like I am. Brandon Hyde's detractors can be quite loud, and they'll pick apart lineup decisions and bullpen decisions. Even though I'll, say over and over, that's a much more collaborative operation than
Then
field
apparently
manage.
some of these yo-yos out on the
Well,
internet think it is, you know,
I
like
don't, but I
literally.
don't look. There's legitimacy to elements of the criticism. There is. I mean, you could second guess. As I said, you could second guess leaving
Well,
Cade Povich in a little bit longer or
you can't
leaving
do that and
Brian
get a
Baker.
press credential here. Trust me, you know.
But the point I'm trying to make here is what I do think you can take Brandon Hyde and the coaching staff to task on has been some of the sloppy play that we've seen over the first 2.5 weeks. And again, this weekend they cleaned up some of those things. So that was good to see, even though you're still talking about a split and, the 6-9 through the first 15. But those are the things to me, especially coming out of spring training, when you've seen guys throw into the wrong base or someone running into an out. Those are the kind of things where I say, what is the coaching staff doing? What did you accomplish during the spring if that's sloppy the first and second week of April, let alone where it's going to look come July? So I think that's a very fair criticism, but we tend to, because it's easy to talk about and it tends to be low-hanging fruit, lineup decisions, things like that. And I'll also point out Saturday and Sunday, the first time all year we've seen the same lineup in back-to-back games. So, they had a good offensive performance on Saturday, got off to a good start Sunday, and they scored six runs ultimately, should be good enough. But you're hoping maybe they're settling into, that now that Gunnar Henderson's back, he's at the top of the order. You're hoping that his three hits on Sunday is another sign that, he's going to start getting the results. I mean, of all the things to worry about Gunnar Henderson's near the bottom of the list for me because, like I said, he's hit the ball hard, even if the numbers, the batting average and the power hasn't come yet. But you just look at this thing top to bottom, they've got to play sharp baseball. They've got to be a smart team. They can't run into outs. They've got to play good defense. As I said, I really like the way that their infield defense played on Saturday and Sunday overall. They've got to turn double plays. I mean, a pitcher's best friend is a double play, right? I mean, this team, they need a lot of best friends on that front, for this pitching staff to try to navigate 27 outs. But it's all going to come back to they've got to hit, and they've got to hit at a high level. And it's good to see Ryan Mountcastle take advantage of the new left field wall on Sunday, finally hits a home run. In fact, Mountcastle had gone, I think, 41 games going back to last year without a home
It's
run. I
got to
mean,
be a weird thing in that guy's head, back and forth of the years of being here and him being who he is and the way he profiles.
I mean, let's face it. For as much as the pitchers love the wall being moved back the way it was 3 years ago, I mean, he was numero uno in terms of guys that hated it. I mean, Trey Mancini was basically out the door when they did that. I mean, Trey didn't like it either, obviously. These guys are pros, right? I mean, they're not being malcontents over it. Let me be very clear. But I'm sorry, if you're a right-handed hitter and you are looking at that,
You just made my job harder in my home
I
ballpark,
mean, it's
right?
even if you have the best growth mindset you can find and you say, you know what, I'm going to play hit to all fields, I'm going to value doubles and all that, it's still going to mess with your mind. It's still going to hurt you. And I wouldn't dispute the very distinct possibility that that has it harmed him, not just in terms of what StatCast would tell you in terms of he lost more home runs than anyone over the last 3 years, playing half his games at Camden Yards, but also just the psychological element to that, where you might develop some bad habits or you might change your approach. He's become more of a hit to all fields guy, which might sound good at face value, but if
Does
your
it have
game is,
more value when it's contract
well,
stuff?
it's not just, but it's not just that, but it's also, okay, there's hitting the other way and there's hitting the other way with authority. I mentioned to you in a recent conversation that we had talking about Heston Kerstad. And so far this season, and finally, he hit a home run on Saturday, he pulled a double on Sunday. That was good to see. Maybe some signs there that he's going to get going, hitting the ball with more power. But what we've seen from Heston Kerstad the first couple of weeks was a lot of weak contact to the opposite field. Heston Kerstad wasn't drafted second overall to be, a guy that is a contact hitter
Well,
that.
if you're behind in the count, you're playing defense. If you're,
Sure. I mean,
ahead in the count, you're whacking.
right. There's
And
nuance. Let me be clear. There's nuance to that. I'm not saying pull it 100% of the time, but my point with someone like Heston Kerstad, if he's going to max out his value, he's going to hit the long ball and hit for power, right? Because he's not a great defender. He's not a guy that's going to steal a ton of bases. So what is he going to do if he's going to be a valuable commodity for you? He's going to have to hit for power. So good to see that from him, over the weekend. But, you just look at this group right now, and they're waiting for Gunner, right? I mean, Holiday has got off to a good start, has struggled the last week. Mullins has been their MVP so far. I mean, he's been fantastic. O'Neill hit a home run, hit his first home run since opening day on Sunday. That was good to see. Offensively, he's been fine. Been a little disappointed in O'Neill's defense, especially a guy that's a former Gold Glove winner. At the same time, he's also had a ton of injuries. And at some point, it's like, okay, those injuries take a toll in terms of a player maybe not moving quite as well. But also, do you want him diving all over the place for balls, knowing that that could end up landing him on the IL? So, there's some of that
also, there's a
at
little bit of
work.
don't run on him that maybe they're running on him a little bit too. So,
So, I mean, it's that's why I kind of said their infield defense needs to be great, because that's where I said on the corners, their outfield defense without Kowser,
well, that's the
it's
rubber
not going to
band
be
of
great.
pitching too, is the guys put the ball in play, you got to catch it.
Sure. That's why everyone's chasing strikeouts in the modern game, right? I mean, you don't have to defend the strikeout. And that's where the Orioles don't have a whole lot of that
Oh, and
right
that's
now.
why they come for this kind of wisdom on the internet. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. We're doing some baseball here. On the hitting side of this, and on the pitchers they're seeing, and one of the things for me with this whatever the platoon system that they have in mind to give Rutschman days off, to let Sanchez play, to have Laureano be a, feel like he's a part of the team, except when he's got the bat on his in the 10th inning and he's and the game's on the line. And do you really want him in there against Hoffman, right? Like
Right.
I don't know around the fringes where they have picked the other players. And I mean not the starting 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm talking about 12, 13, and what they want out of Mateo, what they're looking for from Urias, which is not to play every day because Westberg's hurt last year, or even the outfield situation now where you lose Couser and you're like, well, I mean, Mullins has been better than Couser would have been. Like so there's a point in all of
Well, you
this
want
where
both of them out there. That's the problem.
ideally,
Yeah.
or you want Kerstad to emerge and be that guy. None of that's happening right now. And the Henderson part for me of him missing the first week leads me to be a little bit more reserved in my judgment because I am convinced the pitching's never going to be any good at this with this group. I
Not
am
going to argue with
convinced
you.
the hitting can be very good. I'm convinced the defense can be good enough, but I'm also convinced that, and I'll go with John Harbaugh's, biblical phrase of best version of themselves on any given day, best version of all of these guys for where their ceilings are, Holiday, Rutschman. You're down on Westberg after the weekend, and he's got to back this and that. And so, but whatever the all-star version of all of those, the potential of all that is really the potential of the franchise. Now that the
Sure.
pitching's gone, the potential of the franchise is we've got three guys we can put on the wall that look like Brooks, Frank, and Boog, and or Luis in this case, but that doesn't do me any good. That they have those kinds of foundational players. And the disappointment that I see, and I saw a big soliloquy up on the Baseball Factory page that looked like it might have been written by Rick Dempsey. I have no idea. In regard to you have this young talent and you surrounded him with Charlie Morton, Kyle Gibson, Stagano, like that was that disappointed Dave Shinen a month ago. That disappointed
Sure.
John Eisenberg a month ago. All of you, me, meanwhile, I'm just begging to get my press pass back. Oh, pretty please. I feel like John Stewart at this point. It's like I just these pregnant pauses and these funny looks. I feel like I should bring graphics in. But nonetheless, the pitching side and bringing the graphics in of their age, of what you expect them to be, and that there's no cavalry coming. The hitting part of this gets dissected even more when
Sure.
Henderson misses a week and Westberg's got a backache and Rutschman last year, whatever that was, and Couser's not coming back. So for me, it really is like you loved Laureano. He's got to get a big hit in a big situation late in the game because that's what his role is going to be. You don't want to ride Rutschman like the Orioles rode Matt Wieters, right? He's not going to catch 146 games this year. So what do those situations look like? What do the pitching matchups look like? And they ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw out in Arizona. I thought they ran into tougher pitching and they didn't even see Burns. So, like the Yankees are in 2 weeks. They're not going to see Gerrit Cole, right? They're not going to see those kinds of imbalances that you don't want to see when you don't have Bradish and you don't have Burns and you don't have Eflin at this point, right? I mean, you don't have anything you would go to a playoff game and say, I like my pitcher tonight. And they don't have anything like that in their arsenal. So this really has to be situationally that they're putting the right hitters on the field and these guys, to your point, are getting the job done. And whether that's Kobe Mayo coming up because he does well or whether that's Vasayo, I don't know. But at some point, Kerstad is going to be on a rope. I don't know with Holiday. I mean, that's going to be part of him being so young is on off again. Let him just freaking play. Let's not be cleaning out his locker and threaten to send him to Norfolk. Well, Johnny, he is hitting 212. You know what I mean? Like there's going to be a little bit of that going on too, because I don't think he's at a point where he's going to fly like a big bird right now. I don't think he's going to look the part of consistently hit 280, 290 every week. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be choppy as it is for young players. And that's a tougher thing to do when you feel like I got to get two hits every night because like the team needs me to get two hits every night because we got to get 12 hits every night because we got to score six runs every night because two, three, four runs, hitting solo home runs, drawing a walk, I ain't getting it done.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. One, I want to clarify, I'm not down on Westberg. I was just pointing out that he's, since hitting three home runs the first three games, he's 6 for 39 without an extra base hit.
And
I
you're
mean,
lowering your
yeah.
expectation under the guise that he might be playing with
I mean, he might,
something, as
yeah,
you
he might
said,
be. I
right?
mean, and again, it's not an
And this, we
excuse.
went into this with Rutschman into a dark hole. I
Sure.
mean, really, when guys do this, right? So
Well,
we're evaluating them based on what we see, but not on what we know. And
right. And
yeah.
again, I'm just pointing out what's happened the last 2 weeks. You and I are going to talk so much about 2 week segments over the course of a 6 month season, and certain guys are going to look like Babe Ruth, and other times are going to look like Manny Alexander, right? I mean, it's that's just the
Well, that's
nature
the
of the
way they
beast.
talk about it when they get
But
together after the
you
game and
said,
say, this guy's swinging it well. I don't like what's going on. You got to work with him in a cage. We're going to give him a day down, right? I mean,
you said something though that resonated with me. And I think it really speaks to where they are, especially now with Cowser out of the picture for the time being, and knowing that that has made Heston Kjerstad basically an everyday player, which is fine. I mean, that you have him in your system still, and he's done everything he can do at Triple A, fine. But I think they're really at a place now with their bench. You look at where their bench is with Kjerstad not coming off the bench, right? And he's in the lineup every day, which also factors into Mountcastle and O'Hearn as the first baseman and designated hitter. Whereas if you had a healthy Cowser, you probably are giving O'Hearn and Mountcastle a couple more days here and there because then you're going to DH Kjerstad in those spots. But, with Cowser out of the picture, it is what it is. But I think right now, fully acknowledging, yeah, Adley Rutschman, just like any catcher, can't catch every single day. You're going to have to give guy days off and the backup catcher is going to play a little bit. So you have that. But beyond Arias and maybe the formula for him, and you mentioned Jackson Holliday, and look, if you're going up against a Garrett Crochet or a Tarik Skubal or really tough left-handed pitcher, I mean, they're going to face, on Tuesday night, they're going to face Logan Allen. I don't know if that's the, that's the threshold per se, but they're facing a lefty. Is that a way to give Holliday a blow? And it gets Arias into the lineup, who has hit. I mean, for as much as guys like me have tried to jettison the Ramon Ariases of this roster over the last 3 years in favor of the young guys coming up, Arias is a useful player.
You got to have that Floyd
He's a
Rayford.
productive player. So I would say, of all their bench options right now, he's the guy that you still want to keep in the mix a little bit here and there. But it's not going to be a lot because if everything's going well, you have Gunnar Henderson at short, you have Westberg at third, and you have Jackson Holliday at second. Last week aside, I mean, big picture, it's a 1-1. It was the best prospect in baseball. Like you have every bit of confidence that he's going to do the job long term.
Well, and you keep
But
Mateo around to run the bases, right?
well, and that's but that but that's where I look at this thing and I just say, where it stands right now, I mean, Mateo is really only good for that job right now. I mean, still doesn't have a hit yet this year, right? And we've seen what it's become. For as good as he was in 2022, where he looked and he actually hit and looked like the kind of guy that, who knows, maybe could be a starting caliber shortstop. Since then, I think we've seen what he is. He'll have 6 or 7 weeks over the course of a full season where he hits the ball and he's going to defend and not in the outfield, talking shortstop and second base, let's say. And he's going to be able to run. But how much, when you look at the makeup of the Orioles' current lineup, are there really that many spots for him to play? That's where I said, okay, Arias, to give Holliday a day off every now and then against a tough lefty, fine. Or to give Westberg a blow because he's not 100%, fine. But otherwise, you want those guys in there. And Mateo's on the bench. Laureano, they signed him, for some more depth and someone who can hit left-handed pitching, but he's got to do it. I mean, it's how much, how much value is there to that when at this point Mullins is playing at a very high level? Okay, you can set Kerstad, fine. Tyler O'Neill needs some days off here and there, but again, it's kind of a limited profile. That's why I kind of liked what we saw Saturday and Sunday from the standpoint of you use the same lineup and it was basically your nine best regulars. And I want to see more of that for right now. You know, once Kowser comes back, and assuming you don't, obviously the caveat is someone else could get hurt, and that's why you have a bench and that's why you have depth. But where things stand, I don't see much of a place to give Jorge Mateo starts. I don't see a place for Laureano to get very many starts. Or like I said, Arias is kind of the one guy on the bench where I say, okay, you know, try to see if you can get him a couple starts a week, you know, but
And when
they're
Sanchez
starting.
plays, you want Rutschman at DH, right?
Yeah, sure. And but even then, I don't want it to be a, you know, it's not a 50-50 time share. You know, it's going to be once, maybe twice a week. You know, beyond that, I mean, you want Rutschman in there. So you said it though, really with these young guys, and Holiday is probably the best example of this, and it's a good example even now as he's scuffling over the last week, and you've seen the average drop. I still want him to play because I kind of look at this and say, you know, long term, what's the real benefit to him? You're sitting him if the alternative is Jorge Mateo playing second base that night, right? I mean, it's just it's not like it's another
Well, that
compelling.
became his job when Norby went away, right? Just in a
Sure,
general sense, because
right.
Norby would be a guy that they would sandwich in here.
I mean, maybe, right? Maybe,
Well, if
but
he couldn't do it, if he couldn't
right,
do it, yeah.
sure.
If he were
But
hurt, yeah.
you know, clear. But you at some point in time, you're just like you've got to sink or swim with these young guys, and there's no reason to think that Jackson Holliday can't do the job. And I'll point out, even as he has struggled over the last week, we're not seeing the strikeout rate be insane like it was last year. You know, it's still high. He still strikes out a little too much, but it hasn't been, you know, where, I mean, like early last year, he was striking out in half of his at bats, right? I mean, it was extreme. I'd like to see him walking a little bit more. I do think I've seen some numbers, and you know, obviously we can keep track of umpire grades and things of that nature. He's gotten rung up on some tough calls. I'll say that. And that, you know, in 2 weeks, that's more meaningful than it is over the course of a whole season. But you know, I just play him. You know, play these guys. Heston Kerstad, play him. But because
Okay, finish your thought
no, I
because
was just
I
going to
want to
say
take that to Brandon Hyde. I do.
but it just comes down to, you know, what is Ramon Laureano? Like, what are you getting out of that? You
Well,
know, I
that's
mean,
on Elias, right? And that's on if Cowser goes down, this is what it's going to look like. You got to
sure.
play that game, right? If this guy gets hurt, what's this going to look like?
You do, but at the same time, I mean, I want to find out about Heston Kerstad. He's 26. You know, he's not a
Well, they've
young
just given
man.
you that opportunity. It may cost you half a season if he hits 212.
Well, what's Ramon Laureano going to do?
I got you.
You know what I mean? Like that's what I mean. It's not like you have an all-star sitting on the bench, right?
And I'm with you. 2 years ago, you felt differently about Mateo and Urias as a backdrop to this, and O'Hearn coming into this, and more bats. I don't feel like you feel that way right now about Mayo this minute, that he's going to be a real contributor here this year.
Yeah, he's got to, I mean, he's got to get him.
And
It
the
looks.
jury's out on whether Kerstad can be a contributor here.
Yeah. I mean, especially if he's going to be anything resembling a starting caliber contributor. Or is he, you know, if Kowser were healthy right now, Kerstad would have been the guy that maybe comes off the bench and gives you an at bat late in the game, you know, pinch hitting for, I don't know. I mean,
And he's
you know.
got to succeed at that. That's a completely different job.
Sure. And
Yeah.
that's why for me, the silver lining to Kowser being out, and believe me, Kowser being out hurts. I mean, he's the defense alone and the flexibility it gives your outfield to rest a Cedric Mullins against some lefty starters, which ideally you'd like to do, but they're not really in a position where they can do that because what are you going to put Laureano in center? I mean, I don't think that's a great defensive fit at this point in Laureano's career. 3, 4, 5 years ago, sure, you know, but I don't think he's really a guy that you want to start in center field very often. And that's where I kind of beg the question right now. If you get to a point where you have a run of left-handed starters that you're facing, you know, is Dylan Carlson a better fit for that bench, you know, to come off the bench and you know, start occasionally for Mullins? I mean, I'm not saying that's ideal either, but the Mateo specialized pinch runner role, it's fine for right now because of Cowser being out, but once he's back, is that really a big enough role for what you'd like to have on your bench? I mean, I don't know. I'm just begging the question. I'm asking a question. That's it. But for me, it really comes down to they've got a starting nine at this point that kind of what you want to trot out there just about every single day, acknowledging that, yeah, Rutschman needs a couple more days off as a catcher than your other position players, but and guys are gonna need a blow every now and then, but just they got to play these guys and they've got to perform and they've got to perform at a high level. I mean, it's just kind of is, it's what they it's why they drafted these guys, right? It's why they made Holiday 1-1 and these other guys are first round picks or second round picks. I mean, it's what they've their entire rebuild was based on that, because it certainly wasn't drafting pitching early. So that's what they need, and that's what they need these guys to do. And it is tough. You made the point about, it's kind of the, heavy is the crown, so to speak, when you're someone like Jackson Holliday, where you're 21 years old, and not that they're asking you to bat cleanup, but you need to be consistent. You need to play like a 1-1. You need to play like the top prospect in
So
baseball.
for me with him, if we had talked about this with Shinen, if he hits 260 and 12 home runs and drives in 58 runs and gets on base a little bit and draws some walks and has that's an average profile second baseman and whatever as a 21, 22-year-old to say that the next step is we're going to get you up to 278 and you're going to hit 19 home runs the next year. And by the time you're 25, you're going to be a guy that can hit 300. You can hit 30 home runs. You understand the game better, and you're 25. And
And let
to
me be.
expect everybody to be Gunnar Henderson or Bobby Witt or whatever
Sure.
that is, the next level down is not bad.
Oh, no question. And look, if that's what he does this year, that's still better than what Jorge Mateo would do playing every day at second base. So there's no, there. Look, I'm not saying he needs to be an all-star, but he does need to be a positive for this team. And let me be clear, I think even that with the last week, fully acknowledging he's scuffled over the last week, I think his defense has looked better at second base than it did last year. I think that's been good to see. So I think he's finding ways to contribute. I think he's fine. I'm not going to sit here and say that the numbers look great right now because they don't, but I'm not even considering where we were a year ago at this time where he came up and looked so far
Dude, I'm in a
in
different
over his
place with
head.
him than I am with Charlie Morton with an ADRA or
Of
Dean Crane. You know what I
course.
mean?
Of course. Because
But
there's upside there. You'd like to think he's ascending, whereas Charlie Morton, the best case scenario is to hold on for one more year. I mean, that's just especially someone who's 41, let alone talking about some of the other guys they have that are older, but not that old. But that's where you just look at this team's upside and their path to being an 88 win team, a 90 win team, a wild card team, a team that maybe wins the division because the AL East isn't, no one's that complete of a roster. Any of those scenarios involve this offense being one of the very best in baseball. Anything short of that, they're not going to be good enough then. I mean, they're not. I don't see enough of a path for even the best case scenario with your various pitchers, whether you're talking about the rotation or the pen, their offense needs to be an elite offense. I mean, this is
yeah,
kind of like,
Brandon Hyde's going to look like the village idiot every time Laureano comes up in the 11th inning and has to win the game for him. You know, I mean, I
and
that's
that's most,
probably.
and to be clear, that's going to be most teams, right? I mean,
Yeah.
most teams aren't going to have a bench that, you might have one guy on your bench that you really like in that kind of spot, like Terry Crowley,
I was going
50
to
years
say the
ago.
professional Jim Dwyers and Terry Crowleys
Yeah, I mean, you might have
have just,
one guy. Delmon
yeah.
Young was that guy a decade ago for the Orioles, right? You might have one guy that does that. Do the Orioles have that right now? It doesn't really feel like it. I mean, maybe Urias could be that guy, give you a professional at bat. But at the same time, this goes back to what I said. Ideally, with these young position players, they're not in too many spots where you want a pinch hit for them, right? I mean, that's kind of the, that's kind of the point of what I said. And I get it. O'Hearn's not going to play against left-handed starters, for example. So that opens up a spot for someone.
Well, you
But
got five guys that are 1-1 potential
you want them to,
all-star guys
you hope they're
if they're
everyday
all in there,
players.
right?
Yeah, you hope they're everyday players. And even Mateo is a, even someone like Mountcastle, I'm not saying he's stealing bases, but for a first baseman, he runs well. Gunnar Henderson runs well. Westberg runs well. Mullins obviously runs well. Holiday steals bases. So it even that, I mean, you only have so many guys. Okay, Rutschman in the ninth inning. Yeah, Mateo, run for him. Sure. I'm not, there are some spots, but you don't have seven plotters in your lineup where you're saying, oh my gosh, I need to get someone in there to run for him in the eighth inning. I mean, they have a couple guys like that. So really, I mean, it comes back to you're starting nine and go out and play. Go do it. I mean, whatever you get from the bench, I mean, yeah, you hope if someone has to play that they can be serviceable. But for the most part, I mean, I want those their best nine right now without Kowser and taking, throwing possibilities like Mayo and Basayo out of the equation for now. Go play. I mean, it's just it sounds very simplistic. It's a Captain Obvious kind of thing to say, but it's just kind of where I am right now. I mean, I want Jackson Holliday to play every day, and I get it. He's going to have some ups and downs, but I think in the big picture sense, and as 2025 continues, you're going to be better for it rather than being in a position where, oh, he's really scuffled the last four or five games. We need to sit him down. And, I don't think they're going to do that this year with him. Last year, sure, because it was pretty extreme what we saw, but you just, they're going to have to sit. You're going to have to sink or swim with these guys. I mean, this is everything your franchise was built around. And, go play. And you need those guys to hit. And I think they will, but they need to hit at a higher level than they have over the first 2.5 weeks. I mean, that's just reality with the state of where their pitching is right now. And, whether that's fair or not, it's where they are.
Luke and I have made it through a whole segment without calling the Cleveland team by their old nickname. We'll see if that holds up all week. The Guardians, the Guard, the Mighty Guard coming in this week, as well as some of my Cleveland Mafia. I'll be checking in my whole Ohio Mafia. I got the Cincinnati people coming in too. It almost feels like an old school AFC North matchup. NFL draft is next week. Luke is monitoring that. We have Mike Tenier on. For all you old timers, I think Jordan Westberg's going to be my favorite Oriole because he wears number 11. No particular reason, but I did have Doug DeCinces, as my other favorite number 11, on last week as well. I hope you find all of this cool stuff that we've been doing on the baseball side. Barry Bloom joined me last week from Sportico talking about the business of the team. I also have some other business folks this week as Mr. Rubenstein gives away bobbleheads on Saturday night because we all need a owner bobblehead and a hat. All I'm looking for is my legitimate press credential, Mr. Rubenstein. That's all. My dear Katie Griggs letter is coming this week as well. And the emergence of the Reds coming to Baltimore. I can't think of the Reds coming to Baltimore without thinking of Sparky Anderson and Earl Weaver. So, I hung out with Sparky once, Luke. It was life altering when he managed the Detroit Tigers. I used my press pass every time the Tigers came to town. I would make sure I was there at the end of the game so I could be at Sparky's post game, where he would sit there in his jock and eat food off the plate and spittle at you and talk to you and stuff like that. And all I could think about, 1970 and the big red machine, being a kid. So the Reds and the Orioles playing baseball. It still screws up an old guy like me, but we're going to get to it later in the week. Big week, draft, baseball. We even had a little golf tournament over the weekend I might talk about before it's all over with here. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is moving to Beaumont this week. We'll see you out there on Wednesday. Next Thursday, we will be, Thursday, next Wednesday, we will be at Cooper's North, and then we'll be at Coco's Pub on the 30th as well. I'm getting my Wednesdays and Thursdays all screwed up. Please refer to the Baltimore Positive for all the official details.